This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Oh, no. I was just singing a really shit song off air, and that was better than bingo, bango, bingo, bongo.
Bingo, bango, bongo sounds like someone who's doing like the bingo adjudicators having a stroke at the same time. And it's a cry for help, and everyone's just like, yo, I know, we're playing bingo.
So, legs 11, you know, like the classic ones in bingo that you say. Mm. What does bingo, bango, bongo go with?
That's when you draw three 100s in a row. And then that's when they go, didn't know the numbers went up that high, and why is there three of them in there?
Have you ever played bingo?
That's the one with the snakes and the ladders, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
It's like a national sport in the Philippines, basically, bingo.
It's really quite loved, is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I went to a funeral once and they were playing bingo on the side. Bingo, so that's bingo, how bingo. That's how serious we are. Yeah, bro.
What do you mean on the side? Like what? In like the not, funeral?
Not in front of the coffin.
If like, you lost know, interest like, in the person, you're like, let's go play some bingo. We get it.
Like, this is getting this slideshow is too sad for me. I'm going to liven up the mood.
Aaliyah's dead. It's like, we get what she was about. Let's go play some bingo.
She would have wanted it.
That's what she would have wanted.
It is what I would want, guys.
We're here for another podcast. Before we launch into Tamagotchi chat, can we say a big welcome to any first-time podcasters that might have joined us? Because I heard on the show that Jules will be doing a thrilling reading of chapter 3, the third and final installment of her short story.
Yes, the short story that's taken 3 weeks to finish.
Well, like any short story, it's kept people engrossed, I think.
I hope so. With a lot of dialogue, this, I'd say between 8 to 10-year-old Jules really wanted to just get your attention with this haunted spookiness. Have we been spooked so far by the story?
Oh, certainly by its length, absolutely. I think, undeniably, I think we've all been scared by that. Look, let's get into it right now.
Letters from Jules.
Dear Diary.
What did young Jules write back in the day?
We should say as well, this was, how old were you when you wrote this?
I'm going to say between 8 and 10.
8 and 10.
That's right. Able to use a computer let's word art.
It is our Halloween theme, so let's set the scene.
Spooky.
Oh, a little bit spooky.
We cross back to the gloomy town of Poultryville with the Turner family. They're in their vacation house and Pierre is the freaky-ass butler. We flip over to the next page.
Yep, I was going to say, we're on page 2.
Thank you. Thank
For those
so much.
Who are reading along with their copies at home.
Okay, the girl explained.
So well written.
We all dress up in white sheets to prove to Pierre that there really are ghosts here.
Huh.
The foursome grinned with excitement. For the next half hour, the Turners searched the entire mansion in all 42 bedrooms for white bed sheets.
42 bedrooms.
They found 17 and were eager to watch.
17 bed sheets.
17 bed sheets.
What an unnecessary number.
In a 42 bedroom house. Only 17.
Well, no, I suppose the other rooms might have had different coloured sheets.
They found 17 and were eager to win the battle. Ready for anything, the family huddled together under the soft bedclothes around the corner from the dining hall. And action, they yelled in one voice. Pierre turned around to see four spooky ghosts heading towards him. The Turners eyed him in deadly expectation.
Is that in the writing or are you having a mental breakdown?
So one second, let's hear that impression again.
A ghost! No! Four ghosts! The startled butler ran all the way out of the mansion as fast as his legs could carry him, never to be seen again. Once Mrs. Turner had declared safety, she ran outside, followed by her mischievous family. What an adventure, he said once he had caught his breath. Hopefully our next Imbolc vacation won't ever be that dangerous, Mrs. Turner said, eyeing her husband. The real estate agent had that cheeky grin on his face again. Hear, hear, they cheered in unison. Finn.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Wow. What an ending. The twists and turns.
So many twists, so many turns.
That was. Thank you, Jules. That was an experience.
Are you surprised I'm not a very well-paid author?
What?
To be fair, and I understand we give you all a crap for, obviously, because a lot of the letters from Jules are quite insane. Because obviously, they are. I mean,
it's all point.
As far as, how old were you for that one again?
Between 8 and 10, Nick.
But no, I know. But I mean, like, for an 8 and 10-year-old, that's incredible.
Look, genuinely, I'll say, if you're 8 years old, that's bloody fucking incredible. If you're 10, it's all right.
Oh,
wow. Right. What if I'm 9, okay?
Well, if you were 9, then it's in between.
Bloody
there
all
somewhere.
Right. It's bloody all right. It's just sitting in
thanks,
the middle
guys,
there.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys. Take it on board for the next installment.
Take it back for the draft. When you're onto round 2 of drafts, let us know and we'll look at publishing it.
Fantastic.
It would be very funny.
Have I lost my Tamagotchi?
Oh, no.
It's in my pocket.
Good little segue for us. Of course, talking about Tamagotchis, which have been a feature on the show for the last few days.
And let me just say, a nuisance so far.
Well, we hatched them on air. They weren't timely. They never. That's the thing about kids. They never come on time.
No, that's right.
Absolutely. We have got our little digital pets that we're trying to keep alive. Mm. The idea, Jules, between you and myself, who's going to be able to keep ours alive the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Aaliyah has got one as well because, I don't know, inclusivity, why not?
I really want to be part of this, you know.
I feel how we're feeling as struggling parents who are struggling to get any shut-eye while their baby sleeps. So far, like a newborn.
Yep.
What was that look?
Sorry, I just got an email. I'll talk to you guys about it later.
Can I just say, putting them on mute, the Tamagotchi on mute, is a game changer.
I wish you could do that with babies.
Put the baby on mute.
Well, you press A and C buttons on the baby to put on mute
front and be back.
Like, I'm truly done with this shit.
If you sort of pull its fingers enough, it just goes.
Could you
and then
stop
it goes
whinging?
Quiet.
I'll turn mine back on. I'll unmute it just to see how annoying it is.
We had to watch a YouTube tutorial on some parts of it.
Not we, just you.
What? You both joined
me,
didn't
you? I watched as well. I wanted to be informed.
Well, I still don't understand because the idea is you can feed it. That's self-explanatory. It poos. You've got to clean up the poo. I get that part. There is a game that you got to play with it.
Mm.
And that is the part that I do not understand.
Yes. I was playing it just before.
Do you understand? Well, I think we might have different games.
Well, no, because
yours
I'm
a different generation.
Perhaps, well, because I've got a different one. Mine is Gen 1, the OG, and you guys have Gen 2. So I was playing the game earlier with my Tamagotchi, and basically it's literally just a guessing game of which way is the Tamagotchi going to turn left or right.
Ours seems to involve counting.
Yes.
Counting?
Yeah.
Haven't quite understood that part.
Do you want to have it? Here's my dude. Oh, do we name him? I don't know. Do we should?
Dude,
mine is going to be called Maximilian.
I'm worried. I feel
yours
like
yours looks like a. Yours like, looks like a really bad 8-bit of Majin Buu from.
Also true from Dragon Ball Z. Yeah,
I'm quite amazed that mine was 0 years old when we hatched them, and mine was 5 pounds. And then it only seems to be happy when I feed it, but now it's gone from to 1 year within the space of a couple of hours, and 10 pounds heavier.
I've got yours. It just kept saying the number 7,
and
then I didn't know what to do. So now it's stopped playing the game.
Yeah, exactly. The game on ours and Jules and mine is not self-explanatory in the slightest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mine is.
You're gonna have to watch that tutorial from that 10-year-old on YouTube to tell us.
Where's the instructions? I'm gonna read the manual.
Well, I mean, we're gonna give them away at the end of the week. So I put mine back in the box.
You've given up already.
No, the instruction manual. I thought it was going to be so self-explanatory, I didn't even bother getting the instructions out.
Hey.
Guys, I get it. So a number pops up on the left, and basically you have to guess if the number that pops up on the right is going to be less or more than the number on the left.
Okay.
So I am killing it with yours right now.
But how do I do that? How do I guess?
Darn. See, now I've thinged it. So,
what buttons do you press?
Okay, so left is less than and right, the middle button
is more than.
And then if you want to stop playing the game, you just press the right button.
Oh, well, that's handy. I appreciate that. Thank you, producer Aaliyah.
That's the whole point of having a producer.
I'm not going to name mine because I think it's going to make it easier when it dies. not get too attached.
Do you think yours is going to last for?
I reckon tomorrow or Wednesday, maybe.
Until you throw it against something.
It's Monday the 30th. Well, so far it's demanding quite a bit of attention and quite a bit of thought for close to no return.
Exactly. You know, the 8 to 10-year-old Julia who wrote that piece, that story thing, this should be her jam of entertainment. That is probably when I got into the Tamagotchis. Now I'm distracted at work. I don't know what I'm doing.
Do you think this I kind of understand. I'm going to sound like
a boomer.
A bit of a boomer here. But I kind of, I look at kids these days.
Kids these days.
And they're on like iPad kids.
I'm an iPad kid and I'm 28.
When you go out to like dinner and you see like kids are on like their iPads and they're playing like some mobile form of Minecraft or Fortnite or whatever, and they've got so much stimulus that's like going into their brain at the moment, then that's what's feeding them. This is like 3 pixels, and this was our world for a little while.
Incredible, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah. And so when we grew up, no, that's why like I was playing Zelda on my Nintendo yesterday, and I was like, this is great. How fun and how fulfilling and how stimulating. What are these kids who have got nothing to compare? Like the bar is set too high from the get-go.
And we spoke to a parent who gave these to her kids for a holiday or to entertain them. They gave up after an hour.
Her name is Claire.
Look, we're the same. Claire from Wodonga?
Yep.
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 Claire. Yeah, Claire's just sitting on a bunch of these.
I understand you.
And actually,
Claire has actually said on the inner circle that she would like the pink one, which is the one that Jules has.
Oh, I better keep it alive then.
So
Claire, because the thing is, when Claire came on the show, she said like, oh, she saw one 6 months ago and bought it for herself. And then I was like, how long did it interest you for? She's like, oh, like maybe a couple of days. Claire, you're not interested. You don't deserve it.
We're not going to give it to her. When we're done with these?
Mm. I don't know. I'm inclined to give them to a child that wants one.
I think it should be like an adoption process.
I mean, you can if you want.
When you're looking to pass on the baby,
you've got to ensure.
Yes.
Oh, can we do that? Would be a great bit on air, actually. Can we do that?
Yeah, to make sure they're fit enough parents.
Oh.
But here's the thing. We should... we'll only obviously interview enough. Like if it ends up being kids that call through, because I feel like it'd be mean to interview 3 kids and only give it to one.
I know.
Well, you all get Tamagotchis.
Sorry, Dylan. Sounds like you're going to be a bit of a bad dad. Mm-hmm. You work too long at hours. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be around to raise your son.
That's so true.
Or your blob. We don't know. They're quite they're amorphous. All right. Well, we'll keep you updated as the week moves on as to how I don't know how they're excelling in life, these things.
And place your bets. Who is going to be performing best as the fit Tamagotchi parent?
Me.
I look forward to it. Oh, yeah, I think producer Lily, because she seems more invested than we are.
Yes.
I think, Jules, I look forward to, because they kind of evolve, I think, because they've already gone from a small blob to a bigger blob.
Oh, yeah. What do you think the next iteration is going to be?
I don't know, but I look forward to it purely because this one, I look forward to ours looking different.
I hope mine will turn into a dinosaur, but I don't remember if that
is
what
a dinosaur
happens.
A dinosaur on the cards.
Is an option. Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
How do you know?
Are you suddenly interested again?
Well, I'm more interested. I just thought it was going to become a bigger blob. I don't really care.
Well, yours is a blob with a little dunga on it.
Mine looks like a blob that someone hit on the back of the head.
Yeah, mine looks like it's hurt itself too on its head, but also very heavy, 10 pounds. How heavy is yours?
Oh, let me have a look.
What's the pound to thing?
Pounds to kilos?
Double?
39 pounds?
Half.
39 pounds?
So one.
Yours is 39.
Oh, am I reading that right?
Oh my.
Is it meant
goodness.
To be ounces?
I thought mine was fat.
Is yours. How much does yours weigh?
I can't select
mine's
it for some
12
reason.
Ounces.
Help, my B button isn't working.
All right. We can't get.
This is boring chat.
Everyone gets it. All right. Well, we'll join you tomorrow for the podcast.
And the big reveal of how heavy my Tamagotchi is.
Just how fat it is. See everyone. And last week, after hearing that a bunch of you living across Victoria had Tamagotchis banned in your schools.
Yes.
We've borrowed the boss's credit card. We've bought some Tamagotchis, the little digital pets. They're the size of an egg, kind of. Or very specific. This is maybe a very specific reference for some people. Remember Baby Bell cheese, those little like wax cheese?
Yes, the same size.
The exact size, yeah. We've hatched them, or we tried to hatch them just before the song. Just a little dancing egg now. I say, for these were $30 each on the boss's credit card.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Money well spent so far.
Such a boring toy. Oh my God, this is what a waste of money this was.
Here we were thinking it's going to be a stressful situation. We're going to have to parent this thing day and night. Nick and I are going to have a challenge to see who can keep it alive longest and be the fit enough parent. So far, it's pretty damn easy.
Can I just say, if you're a parent and you're complaining about it, mate. Yeah, as all my parenting knowledge does come off the back of this Tamagotchi.
Mm.
At the moment, our little screen on our Tamagotchis is just a dancing egg.
Bobbing up and down. I think in this time, we need to figure out rules here, how this challenge is going to work.
Okay, well, look, if the idea being that we want to see at the end of the week who's is still alive, I mean, that's a pretty good milestone, isn't
it? Yes, yes.
Pretty good indicator.
What is our time period? Ooh!
Oh, something's happening with Jules's.
Is it? It's dancing.
Is yours...
It looks like...
Is it hatching? Have you gone into labor? Did your water break?
I think so. Oh, it's battery acid. It's winking at me.
It's winking at you.
Yes. It looks like a little Pac-Man dude. dancing around.
All right.
Very. I don't know. And it's got a little smiley face down the bottom.
Yours is already a bit of an overachiever.
Yeah. How's yours going?
mine's an absolute dunce of a...
Oh, this is exciting. I'm already ahead.
All right. Well, look, hey, by the end of the week, we'll see who's kept theirs alive the longest.
So far, I'm going well.
Yours is
still
actually
standing.
Mine's just an egg. Mine could be an Easter egg for all I know. There could be nothing inside of mine. Mine's an absolute dud of an egg. I'll tell you what, we're going to jump into some other stuff here because we can't just sit around and look at a picture of an egg for the entire morning.
The wonderful pixels that it's providing. No, I think we should move on to other things, but don't worry, we will check in.
Yeah, we'll check in on an egg.
Mm-hmm. And place your bets. Who do you think is going to win, Nick or Jules?
I'll say this about eggs. You know how for a brief period the most liked photo on Instagram was an egg? They're clearly popular. People care.
They're stuck with that idea.
I mean, moderately. I mean, I'm so bored, actually. We're moving on.
Letters from Jules.
Dear Diary.
What did young Jules write back in the day?
We take a look inside the mind of a young Julia Greenhalgh. She liked to write.
Plenty of things written, including a short story, one that was quite spooky called The Haunted Mansion, at least my attempt at spooky. Last week we kicked this off entailing the Turner family, Mum, Dad, Jenny and Reese. They found themselves in an eerie mansion with Pierre, the creepy butler.
All right, we love a scary short story. This is not appropriate music. Let's go.
All right.
Jules, take us to the town of Poultryville.
Chapter 2. Time slowly flew past, and by the time Pierre, the scary butler, rang the dinner bell to announce the commencement of the evening meal, the Turners were too startled to speak.
Oh.
Main course is lamb shanks. My specialty side dish is bocce's blood, Pierre told the family modestly. Reese managed to nod in agreement. Pierre continued, "You lot look like you've seen a ghost."
Oh, how apt.
"We have," Jenny said sheepishly. "Ha!" Pierre chuckled. "You guys crack me up. A ghost! You should become a comedian." Jenny didn't take that as a compliment at all. The stunned child stepped up to the plate. "We have seen a ghost, and we'll prove it, Pierre." And with that, Jenny marched up to her room, followed by her brother, mother and father.
Well, she's quite demanding, this young Jenny.
"Agnes, this Pierre guy seems kind of spooky," Mr. Turner reported. "Hello, Captain Obvious," Reese butted in, smiling at his sister. "I've got a plan," Jenny exclaimed triumphantly.
Can I just say, by the way, there's so much dialogue in your short story. There's every second thing is someone's, you know, lines. You've written a play.
Her family members looked blankly at her. Jenny snorted. "What?" Mr. Turner asked curiously. "Pierre's right. You guys look as if you've seen a ghost."
Oh, mate, we get it. We might have seen a ghost.
"We have," Reese, Agnes and Mr. Turner said together.
Oh, boy.
Should we continue on the podcast?
I reckon. I'm looking ahead at how long this short story is, and I think we do continue this on the podcast.
So what we've established so far, someone might have seen a ghost. And that's basically it. The same as chapter one.
And there's a butler called Pierre.
Yes.
Can I... Oh yeah, we'll continue this on the podcast. Nick and Jules... off air with Nick and Jules on your favourite podcasting platform. Listener, Spotify, or podcast, whatever.
But so far, out of 10, the writing...
Oh, there's been more than 10 words, absolutely. Is that what you're asking? It's quite wordy. Can I, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but I get a very strong feeling that the butler might have done it, like in any good sort of mystery thing.
Your first instinct is usually almost always right.
Well, I guess we'll find out on the podcast whether or not Pierre is in fact the ghost. That is Letters from Jules. And we'll return to some more fun ads than this. Well, it's not to say this hasn't been fun, but it's been lengthy. I can't wait for the stage adaptation.
Nick, you know I'm a sucker for reality TV.
Of course.
And Love Island Season 5, it's back tonight on our screens. I'm excited for the new Islanders to take to the villa. The host of the show, Sophie Monk, is with us. Morning, Sophie. Found some more sexy singles to be back on the island.
We certainly did, and they really turned up the heat this time. Like, I'd say this season is the best season of any show.
You've been on a few shows. That's a huge call.
It's a big call, isn't it? Because it's just crazy this year, and they're leaving a lot more in. It's so good. I think people that have watched Love Island are either addicted to it or they haven't watched it. that's just how it is with that show.
If you are continuing to top it, Soph, how is, because you've seen so much drama over the years with all the shows you've been across, like, are people still surprising you with the weirdness in the villa?
Well, yeah, because you have to be yourself, right? Like, there's cameras everywhere. It's 6 weeks, no phone. And, you know, we do throw dramatic stuff at them because, like real life, that happens, right? So you want to see if you can last together. And if you're meant to break up, it's best to know earlier, you know? So it's just crazy. We've just gone a step harder, you know? So every time you go, oh, it's about to chill out, it's like, whoa! Like, it's very dramatic, very funny, like laugh out loud funny as well. So, yeah, I'd say if you like maths and you got addicted and you're looking for a show, this is the one. This is the season to watch.
All right. I'm looking forward to sitting on the couch and feeling. I always get a little bit uncomfortable when I see these people because you do forget there are people like this just, you know, out in the wild doing, experiencing all sorts of insaneness.
Yeah. What's the go, Soph? Like, why are these people single and needing to be on an island to get together? Surely they've got all these matches on Tinder, right?
Yeah, but bad ones. Like, a lot of them are like, oh, I like guys with red flags. I've got to try and stop that. Or they like bad boys, which is never good for you. You know, everyone thinks they can change a bad boy or, you know, or they've been hurt. And, you know, like us, like, you know, so you're scared or, you know. So I think it helps. One of the girls in particular, you saw her confidence grow in herself a lot. And it was so nice to watch. You know, she deserves it. Aww. I think she probably, her self-esteem was really low before. And it's, yeah, so... You know, just like all of us, I think they struggle. Online's hard too, dating, yeah. I reckon.
Wild stuff. And you do hear about, before you go on, reality shows. And we've heard this about maths and Bachelor and Bachelorette and all sorts of those things, that you do the psychological evaluations before you go on to make sure that you are looking for people that are, you know, in a good spot to do it. So it's very interesting to say that we are looking for people that are a little bit unhinged, looking for their red flags. Look. So if we get towards the end of it, and obviously the viewers get to decide ultimately who goes home with the cash, is it hard to remain impartial? Do you get a sneaky vote? Are you sitting there with your faves?
No. You know what it is? I think I'm so proud of them all being that vulnerable on a show, and I know what it feels like to be like that. So I'm really empathetic to all of them. Like, there's not one I don't like. There's things I disagree with that I'm like, that's just wrong.
Okay.
But, you know, at the end of the day, no, I kind of just, keep out of it. It's like the public will decide who wins, and it's, going to be the person that deserves it.
Sophie,
majority rules.
Having going through your own reality series of trying to pick the right person, do you ever weigh in with some advice? Do you ever take any girls aside and say, and that's not caught on camera?
Well, not too much, but I do say to them, like, when they're really teary and upset, I go, you're going to love it. Like, everyone does. You're going to look back and this will be a great experience and, you know, because they all really love each other too. Little bits of advice and just say you're doing awesome and whatever. Yeah.
It sounds like for a reality TV show, and again, we keep touching on it, but the dramatic, unhinged nature of it, there sounds to me like there's a lot of personal growth going on, which I wasn't expecting to hear about season five, Soph.
No, I know. But I think it's just, it's just really raw and real, this one. And I don't know what it is. It's the cast. You know, they're different walks of life, but they're all very, very strong people in different ways. So there's a lot of, like, you know, butting heads and, like, it's just, it's so entertaining.
Do you think that, as opposed to when we talked about Married at First Sight before, but all the other reality shows where people are trying to find love, is there something different about, I guess, the overall format? Or do you think it comes down to casting where you are having these people that like each other? Because when we watch Married at First Sight for the show, I don't see people at the end of the series where I don't see people where I go, oh, I'd like to hang out with them. They come across as nice.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I feel like Love Island's like the little sister of Maps, but you do like these people. You know, we make sure that they're there for the right reasons as much as we can, you know, as well. It's cast very, very well. So I feel like you'll like all of them for different reasons.
Season 5 of Love Island, premiering tonight at 6 p.m. Catch it on 9 now. Joined right now by the very lovely Sophie Monk. You can see her on screen this evening. Soph, thanks for your time this morning.
Oh, thanks so much, guys.
13 10 60. What was Ben at your house? My dad at his home with my mum has recently had to implement a AirPod or a very small earphone band. You know, the ones that kind of, they're just sort of sit in your ear and my mum's hair will go over the side. He won't notice that she's wearing them. So he'll have a conversation to her for 20 minutes or so.
Ignored.
just being ignored, one-sided conversation, and then he'll go, oh, you got headphones in, you haven't heard anything.
I was banned from playing piano at certain times of the day because it annoyed my brother who was trying to sleep.
Look, completely understandable. As we said before, could be just because of the quality of the piano. We don't know, and we may never know these things. Up to the border right now, though. Let's go with the phones on 13, 10, 60. Kelly, what's banned at your place?
Oh, look, I've got all the rules at my house. For the kids, they're not allowed to have slime. And for the husband, he's not allowed to have heavy beer. Okay. Or what we call silly beer in my house.
Oh.
slime is like that little, like it's like a sludge, kind of like a liquidy Play-Doh.
Yeah, yeah. 2 weeks into our brand new house, it got into the carpet, and that was enough to that say never again.
That would have been awful, Kelly.
And on the beer front, did you call it silly beer or spilly beer?
No, silly beer.
Because we get a bit silly when we've had a bit too much heavy beer?
Well, yes, we get very silly on heavy beer.
It's like a husband version of the slime.
Imagine he has a bit too much silly beer and he gets out the slime. All of a sudden, it's absolute chaos. We can't have that.
Nah.
Should say as well, everyone who gets to air this week is going to go in the draw to win themselves a double pass to Friday's Live.
Yes.
Jason Derulo, Kelly Rowland, hosted by our boy Fat Man Scoop. He's up there. So Kelly up on the border, she is in the draw for those as well. Same goes for Michaela Inachuka. Tell us, Michaela, what's banned at your place?
So when I was younger, The Simpsons was banned, but I was allowed to watch South Park because my dad thought it was funny. So work that one out.
That doesn't make sense.
I would have thought that it was,
You graduate from The Simpsons to South Park, potentially.
That's right.
Interesting. Yeah. What age range are we talking here, Michaela?
I was like, when South Park came out. So what was that? I was probably, 12 years old, I think, when it came. So, yeah.
Michaela, did your dad place this ban or was it your mum and your dad was your side? Yeah, okay. You'd sneak off together and watch it.
I remember when I was growing up, I might be in late primary school, either early high school, and I had a friend, because I also had, South Park was also banned at my place, and I borrowed a friend's box set of like one of the seasons of South Park, and you'd think that I'd shot someone, judging by how my family were. It was truly just the biggest crime that I could have committed. So I feel you there, Michaela. Also in the draw, to get those double passes to Friday's Live. If you end up being lucky at the end of the week, round things out to Wangaratta right now with Beck. What's banned at your place?
I've had to put in a ban at our dinner table. No one is allowed to fart at the table.
Specifically the dinner table. So there's other areas of the house that are permissible in?
Oh, yeah, for sure. If we're sitting and eating dinner, you're not allowed to fart in front of us. That's gross.
That's fair. Was there a bit of a run-on of farts for it to get to this point where you have to feel a ban is necessary?
Oh, yeah. There's like a 6-year-old, a 12-year-old, and both my partner and I admittedly contributed.
Who's the biggest culprit, Beck?
Probably the kids.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Likely story. Beck, did you?
Like, they fart, it's funny.
Is it you that put the ban in place, or is it kind of like a communal decision where everyone goes, hey, guys, we're all getting a bit out of hand here?
No, I was just like, all right, this is gross. If you need to fart, please step into the other room and then you can come back.
But at the dinner table, we are civilized.
Are there consequences for going against the ban, Beck?
No, just judgment, really.
Judgment. Oh, that's the best kind of consequence.
No, I should probably put something in place.
Send them to the fart room, which is...
Yeah, right.
Have a little designated area, a little timeout corner. All right. Beck, thanks for the call.
No worries.
That was the Nick and Jules podcast.